Support for this podcast comes from Salesforce. If you think Salesforce cloud services are just for the big fish, think again. Salesforce Essentials is a CRM tool tailor-made for small business and startups. Salesforce took their most powerful enterprise tools and made them more accessible at a price that fits scrappy budgets. You can try it now for free and get 3 months of G Suite by Google Cloud at no additional cost. Visit salesforce.com/technori and start your free trial today.
Salesforce, what would we do without you? Thank you so much for your support. Other things we want to talk about in the city of Chicago and abroad that we care about, and a lot of it has to do with support. Emil Cambry from Blue 1647 is one of those such people, and he is going to be hosting at Blue 1647 on April 19th a TechCrunch meetup. Yes, it is about time that TechCrunch actually comes to Chicago. They have their Disrupt in San Francisco and all over the place, and I've gone to a couple of TechCrunch events. But usually it's not close to home, so I don't end up getting to go. So it's pretty cool that there's going to be one here. They're flying people in from all over the country that are going to speak at Emil's palace at 1647. But some of the people that are speaking are local heroes to us. Harper Reed, who made one of the best addresses at TechNori ever, I think. We've got Samara Hernandez, Star Cunningham, another TechNori legend. Logan LaHive, who runs, is currently the managing director of TechStars. So it is sure to be a cool, cool experience. And I figured to learn more about that, as well as all the stuff that Emil Cambry is up to right now, which I swear to God, you could have a meal in, what, like every week for a brand new update. So without further ado, this is my conversation with Emil Cambry.
Wait a minute, turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves. He talking Scott Catoon.
Emil, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So did I'm sure I'm leaving people off of the TechCrunch meetup. Tell me a little bit more. Before we get into Blue and what you guys are up to, Blue Studio and all that, tell me a little more about what this TechCrunch meetup is.
Yeah, for us, we were really excited about this. You know, I've been following TechCrunch since, I think, 2008, 2007. Yeah. But what we wanted to do is really bring in a lot of great people who can really be judges, but also be speakers, be ambassadors. And also it was important for us to bring TechCrunch in so that it was a part of kind of our fabric. We've had an opportunity to really partner with a lot of great big brands lately. We've been really fortunate.
You have been. I believe there was that, what's that fruit company? Apple.
Yeah.
Tim Cook was hanging out with you for a little bit there.
Yeah, and we're doing a big event with Apple in May as well that we'll be announcing soon. But, you know, we just keep building. And it was just important for us to bring in kind of an iconic tech brand, especially with startups, and bring them to Chicago, partner with great people, but also bring in different people from the ecosystem as well. Some who have kind of felt like they've been distant. Bring them all together and say, like, let's continue to build. Let's continue to celebrate.
It is kind of funny you mentioned that, because I was looking through the list and I've been watching every week or so you post another person who's going to be speaking. And I was thinking, Star Cunningham is the only one of the people that I recall having seen even moderately recently speaking at an event. I think it was that 1871 event that you were at, that we did the little mini podcast at 1871 that Star was at. Other than that, everyone else on this list, I haven't seen them out and about in public or in, you know, in the media, so to speak, in a while. So that was one of the things I actually noticed when you said that. I was like, holy cow, like, you're right. These, like, Harper Reed, he's the last time I saw Harper Reed was walking into the revolving door at Beatrix on the corner of whatever Halstead and wherever it's at. And so it's just funny to see, like, a guy who was a big, you know, person in the scene for a while. And he still is, of course, after selling Braintree, but they've just kind of not really been in the limelight lately. And so it's cool to see that you went kind of old school on it. It's your old school favorite Reed, which, I mean, TechCrunch, the same thing for us. Like, that was sort of the, like, wow, like, that's the model to bend all media models for tech. So very cool. But the reason that they are coming to Blue is not just because you called and asked and wanted to get this done. You were up to a ton of cool stuff. Your name comes up, honestly, like every week. I mean, today, no joke, today I had a meeting with a girl who is starting a boarding school, and I'll make an intro to you on this one at some point when she's ready. But she's got some interesting investors and stuff who want to put together a boarding school for CPS kids. There just isn't one available for them to go to. I actually think you might have met her once before, years ago, I think. But the gist of it is, especially like eighth grade through high school, if there was a way to bring kids to a place where they could stay and spend 24/7 and have kind of a more of an EQ approach to education, and partner with groups like you to help them with coding and learning how to do all the other stuff you guys do with Blue Studio, the first name that came up was you.
Okay.
And I'm like, every single time, it's somebody different. Whether it's boarding schools, education, technology, like everything. You are everywhere, which means you've got to be, when do you sleep?
You know, it's a lot more lately. You know,
that's a good
thing. You know, I've gotten married, I've decided to balance things out a little bit, but the good thing
decided.
Is, yeah, exactly. But I think the good thing is some of those relationships that you have like 5, 7, 10 years ago are starting to kind of mature in some capacity. So Josh Karp was an entrepreneur and someone I had met, you know, back in the ITA days when I was doing stuff in tech in 2007, 2008. And, you know, he was the one who introduced me to John Biggs from TechCrunch and said, hey, you guys should do an event together. So, you know, those kind of relationships, I met Mike Evans, you know, when he was first starting Grubhub and I was working on something that ultimately didn't work out. We were starting at the same time. So we grabbed lunch a bunch of times. And so, you know, reached out to him, said, hey, you know, come on back. Like, I would love you to see what we're working on. And that's kind of how it's always been, just to say, hey, you know, plug in where you feel comfortable. But, you know, we would love to, you know, to have
and we talk about this offline fairly often. And just the fact that, like, sometimes you get lost a little bit in the shuffle. You're working on Blue and you know, we got Technori and we're trying to do our thing and you lose sight of the success that a lot of the people that we've interacted with for a decade, what they're up to now. And it's like, finally, I'm seeing the same thing both on my side as well as with you, is you're starting to see some of the people who, I don't want to like brand people in a negative or a positive light as much as just say like some people maybe weren't in it for the right reasons all the time. And so you would like kind of, you never were mean to them. It was just kind of like, help you when I can, but I really can't. Right. And then others who never asked for help. They just were supportive always. Like, what can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? And now I'm starting to see it sort of come full circle where those people are coming back and they're able to help us. And we never asked for help and they never asked for help. So you feel comfortable getting together and collaborating. And I have to imagine with what you, just the breadth of stuff that you're involved in, that you've got to have a laundry list of people who are just huge supporters.
Absolutely. And I think it comes to the point where in the beginning, you know, so many people said no. So you just met with so many people,
yes.
You know, I mean, it's kind of like I just tried to meet with as many people as I could in the beginning and said, hey, this is what we're working on. And some didn't understand it, you know, wanted to kind of wait and see what would happen. But, you know, over time, they see the stuff that you post. They see that you're actually authentic about the work that you're doing. You're doing it for the right reason. They see the development of the people that you're impacting and they see all this kind of space and they say, oh, like, hey, can I plug into this?
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody has their own things that they're working on and it's just got to be the perfect time. So I try not to.
The learning curve is the coolest part to watch. Because you see, like, for me, talking to people, like, I've always made a rule of, like, I don't ask for money or investment from people, like, around, like, my personal life. Like, if I go find someone who I think we could business make money together, I will put you in front of an opportunity, an investment opportunity. But if it's a personal friend or someone like that, I try to leave that alone. I would rather them call me and say, "Where can I give you my money? Because I want to make it back." Like, that's what I want. And so when I first would post all this stuff about tech, I would get the, like, nothing. No likes, no comments. Like, what are you doing? I would go, like, right, hang out and see these guys. I'm like, what is it you do? Like, and now it's likes and shares and how do I invest in these companies and where do I meet them and what do I go to and all this stuff. And it's like, oh, so 3 years later, 4 years later, now you care.
Right.
Super interesting. What are some of the things right now that you, other than, you know, like the TechCrunch and stuff, like as a platform, what are some of the things that you and Kelly are working on over at Blue 1647?
Yeah. So Kelly, my wife, recently married, but we developed this program called Blue Studio. So ultimately our goal was to make like a pre-K to 12th grade like platform pathway, I should say. And the whole idea is that, you know, sometimes we have programs at different age ranges and sometimes the parents ask what's next. So it was our job really to provide what's next for the students and really not water it down, you know. And I mean, I'm passionate about education and really making sure folks truly have an opportunity, not just go downtown for one day and then think that that's going to turn people into developers. It's really saying, like, let's give folks the skills necessary to truly compete and really the environment and supportive ecosystem that makes sense. So we really wanted to do that. So, you know, we've kind of developed that. Now we have hundreds of families that work, you know, that are on our, that come to classes every single day. And it's really exciting to see them grow and see them develop all age ranges. And we separate them out into different groups. But we do a hackathon once a month.
Yep.
We do a make-a-thon once a month.
I was gonna say, your Saturdays are as busy as any day of the week.
Yeah, it's
I watch on Facebook and it's just like people flying out the doors.
Yeah, I mean, even last last month, we did 100 classes in 1 month, which was like something I really tried to race to, because it just felt like, you know, it's not just doing like one 12-week class and thinking that's it. If you want part of an ecosystem, like 100 classes that a parent can put their kid in is powerful. And so that's one thing. The second piece that we're working on is we're really jumping into esports big time. So this is an opportunity to take some of my interest in, you know, sports, competition, but make some other things that are fun, you know, for youth and adults to participate in. So all the things of League of Legends to NBA 2K and all these other systems, we're going to have competitions. We're building out a mini arena so that folks can practice. And we have a couple of different colleges that are interested in making us their platform in which they can get some leagues and some clubs started. So we're really kind of jumping into the space, which is really exciting. And we have some like great investors as well who are pushing it forward with us, who have played in the Final Four for some different teams and have been pretty successful. So we're excited about that.
It's very cool. And, you know, the funny is not that it's, I mean, obviously the social impact of things is, of course, the root cause of why we're, you know, why you do this stuff. But it's also kind of cool, I think, when you talk about the 100 classes in a month, it's like, if there were someone who wanted to try to compete, you're going to have to come to my level.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to put on, like, that's commitment. Like, it's one thing to say, like, oh, yeah, we should do something like the Blue 1647 of this. Go ahead and try. 100 classes in a month is crazy.
Right. I mean, we're competitive people, and, you know, that's what drives us. Because ultimately, like, I think most people have this perception of the nonprofit world being very slow, very deliberate, not very impactful.
Not for the ones that stay around for a decade.
You know, I mean, but we wanted to say, like, important for me. Push the envelope, and that's why that 100 classes was really something important for me. And this esports piece is big because, once again, we got to have more fun stuff, you know?
I want to get you back on the live show to talk about the esports one, because that I feel like is like a whole show onto its own.
Right.
I love some of the guys on my team are big into esports. I'm formerly very into esports. I think it's another thing in tech and that is going to be huge. It's already huge, but like huge to the person who's not from the tech community to see it.
Right.
And you look at it, as I'm sure you know, the number of top 100, top 500 performers in esports from Schaumburg, from Chicago, from the suburbs, you know, we are quietly a very esports like friendly community of people, and it's just it's cool to see you getting involved in it. It's also in leading into the next kind of conversation here with the kids and the education component. You talked about the K-12. It's a great way for you to differentiate from everyone else. Everyone else is saying, oh, you know, we're going to have a little mini school academy here, blah 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 blah, which is all good. I'm not knocking it. They should. But it's the same thing again and again.
Right.
The kids want to do what they want to do.
Absolutely.
So being, you know, whether it's Snapchat or it's doing content in a different sort of interactive way or esports, you will definitely get the kids who want to be with you, not because someone told them this is now where you go to school.
Absolutely.
Which is important.
Absolutely, because for high school students, they have more agency of what they do now. You know, they tell their parents what activities they want to do and don't want to do, and we're just trying to say, like, hey, while you're playing some esports, I'm going to be in your ear telling you to do some robotics with us, or telling you to do some coding programs, and you're going to trust us, and it's going to be the best.
Well, they're
going to
do it because it's going to make them better at the esports. If your goal from 7th grade to 12 is to become the top 1,000 competitor in an esports league of sorts, and I can help you get there by learning how to code and learning how to make moves and do stuff like that and create robotics and control things with your iPad while you're playing the game, you're going to do it.
Absolutely.
And by default, you're going to learn a bunch of stuff that you probably wouldn't learn somewhere else, which I think is really cool. The other thing about what you're doing I think is amazing and I want to hear more about is the K-12. So you talk about the parents saying that we need more, the kids not knowing what to do with this. To me, and I don't know 1 millionth of what you know in this space, so by all means, jump in anywhere here. The one problem that I have observed, both from taking meetings with people from whether it's Thrive Chicago, CPS, whatever the case, a lot of people doing Montessoris and things, I don't want to say it's nearsighted, but it's nearsighted. They tend to only think through whatever grade they want to cover or they can fund. And the problem is when you decide to build, well, let's just say it's a Montessori for the sake of argument. When you build a Montessori school and the entire focus is on emotional intelligence or whatever the case, and you get to 5th grade or 6th grade, when that kid leaves and has to go somewhere else, they're either way underprepared in one area or they're way advanced in another and they don't plug into the system.
Right.
And they have nothing, like, that's where you get lost kids.
Right.
And so for me, when I watch what you're doing, I mean, I've always thought the evolution was obvious, especially with the Michelle Obama Elementary and things like that. It has always seemed to me, and with, you know, Paige and Paxton now, Blue, are they calling it Blue Studio just officially, or is it?
Yeah, that's our kind of collaboration.
Yeah, together, tied together by matrimony.
Right.
But when I see the program you guys do, it is just, it's amazing to me, and it's about time, because it's the one thing, it's one of the few places that I am aware of that a person can go K through 12 in the city of Chicago and have things that are taught to them throughout the next decade plus.
Right.
Rather than leaving the kids lost.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, we're one of the few that we even know of throughout the country.
Not surprising.
And the important thing is for us to say, all right, we want all these people to get past the AP exam, for instance, you know, AP computer science, AP biology. But we got to start with students at year three to be able to figure out how to get to them to that point. We can't expect them to be excited about AP biology when you're a junior in high school, you know. So we really want to try to think with the end in mind and saying, like, hey, if we had kids today, what program would we want to put our kids in? And this is really what it is. So when my niece comes in town, she flies in from Minneapolis just for our major events. Like, I'm excited to put her in that class because I already know what's that next step is.
So I would have figured you'd put her to work, like put on a blue shirt and go out there and
check wristbands. Maybe when she turns five, but you know, a 4-year-old coding, you know, that's exciting to me. But also being able to see all the different disciplines within science itself and be able to make those linkages and those connections. And that's what's exciting because, you know, if we ever have kids, like we're putting them in Blue Studios and you're going to be there for 12, 15 years. And this is what, you know, the way we designed it, and I think the parents are starting to adopt it, and they're seeing the growth, and they're like, oh my goodness, you know, I thought you guys were going to stay the same. I'm like, we never stay the same. No. We continue
to raise
the
bar. It's not even the same week to week.
Yeah.
Like when I watch you, just watching from afar, it's not the same week to week. And you know, it's interesting, because like this is a unique conversation, which again could be a whole show on its own, is the fact that, you know, as you know, obviously, education has to change. The way we are educating kids has to change. I don't think that the system now, having kids go preschool, then elementary, then junior high, then high school, then college is working. And, you know, whether you stay K-12 or it ends up being, you know, K through 9 or 10 or whatever, and you know, we change the amount of years that our kids are in school. You mentioned it yourself, talking about the, in science, picking a different track that they find interesting. If this works and you have kids from K through, for now, 12, whatever it ends up being, the insight into vocation that you will have, the ability to say, listen, you know, little Stewie, you were this for this many years, and then you went to this and this and this. Like, you are really, really strong in mathematics. I know you're interested in becoming, you know, whatever, a social worker at the school, and I hope someday you give back to the community, but you're really, really strong at math. What can we do to give you a track that will lead to a paying job, a valuable job? Because it's my understanding of just education, especially when you talk about inner city dynamics, that first off, to go to school and graduate is a huge positive. Second, to go and be able to go to post-education in college is another thing. To be able to start giving kids the opportunity to graduate into a job that pays enough to have a family and support a family changes an entire community. And that's the thing that I see what you're doing is like you are potentially setting the fabric of a railroad that can actually lead people out of a community that is continually repeating itself.
Absolutely. I mean, you just can't do the same thing. You know,
yeah.
It's not really working in a world where, you know, like you have to convince students why is this important a lot earlier than when I was in school. When I was in school, you know, if we did the Pythagorean theorem and you kind of said, okay, I guess I'll do it and I'll do the little formula. But now you have to explain why it's important and you have to make that relevancy. And then you can compare that to game design and game development.
Yep.
And when you're taking all these different type of classes at the same time, you see the students start making the connections themselves, so they start pulling from the different elements, and you're exposing them to so much. You know, when you look at our numbers as just, you know, this is not just an inner city problem, this is not just a community problem, this is like an American problem.
Yes.
Like, you know, some people say, oh, it's great what you're doing in the inner city and all that. It's like, no, everybody needs to learn this stuff.
This is a blueprint for society as we shift into a very different and scary era of works.
Yeah, and you know, with automation around the corner and, you know, companies that I'm seeing in our incubator that
and
are building.
And kids graduating untrained.
Yeah.
We have more kids coming out of college, out of postgraduate, who have no tangible skills, no application that they can do with anything.
Yeah.
And that's right now in the best schools in the country, and they're worthless.
And it has to change, you know. And I think with the amount of debt that everyone has, you know, something's got to change quickly. And, you know, we really just wanted to say, like, what would be the best program that we would send anybody that recommended? I don't care where you're from, any income level, demographic, psychographic, any of that. And that's how we designed our programs. And it's exciting because, you know, we've diversified in so many different levels. So we have folks from every socioeconomic background as part of our classes. And I think it's powerful because none of the kids ask themselves, like, who's rich, who's not rich, who's from what community.
They don't care about that kind of stuff.
It's like, let's build the daggone thing. Let's build this thing together. And when you see these hackathons, and they're monthly, so now we see kids, they're 5, 6, 7 hackathons into their life, you know, at the age of 10. You know,
that's
powerful, you know. So when they get 15 and 20 and 25, like, a hackathon is just something, oh, I used to do that. I've done that a ton of times. And I think that that's the kind of culture, and that's the kind of place I want to grow up in, is a place where, like, we're experiencing things that everyone should experience. And I just think we should all realize that it's got to start as early as possible. And I think one of the things that Kelly always says is that workforce development starts at the age of 3.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah, so let's continue working backwards and, like, let's move forward at the same time. So that's the great thing about what I love about the work we're doing, because I love working with adults too, but our youth programs are just
adults are a little annoying after time.
You know, I love our adults, but, you know, they have different concerns. But our youth, to see those light bulbs go off, like, that's the powerful thing, you know. So when people asked us in the beginning, like, do you work with youth? Do you work with adults? And we said both. You know, we did it to survive in the beginning. But now you're able to see, like, how important and how vital it is for youth to see adults that look like them, that are building stuff, how powerful it is for them to be separate and being able to say, like, okay, I can be that too. And that's anybody, not just lower economic, not just middle income. It's everybody. And I think that that's what's powerful, and it's starting to come together. So when we bring the Harper Reeds and other folks, the Tim Graces, to our space, then all of a sudden they're thinking, how do I invest in some of this stuff now? So all of a sudden we're cultivating a really nice investment community that really wants to be a part of seeing change, but also seeing, like, people make, you know, sustainable ventures that can ultimately make Chicago the place that it needs to be.
And my guess is that the attendance and the behavior is amazing for these kids because they actually care.
They love it, you know, and that's what makes me want to give them more. I'm thinking, okay, at first, believe me, if we had some tough students, I would not be getting into the esports space.
Yeah.
It's because I feel like they deserve it, you know. Everybody feels like they should participate, and if they're doing it on the north side, they're doing it in the suburbs, they're doing it on the west coast, they should do it in Chicago too. And that's kind of how we developed it. We always try to make sure we're on the front lines of new stuff, creative stuff, but I want that student to say, to cry that they have to go home. And we've had that. And, like, you know, it's crazy to, like, be proud of a student crying, but the student is really excited about being at our space, working with our instructors. Our instructors care a whole heck of a lot. And we just, you know, keep pushing forward.
Very cool. As always, inspiring. Let us know if there's anything we could ever do to continue to help you guys out. Love what you do. For those of you listening, where do you go to get your kids in this? Where do you go to support Blue? Where do you go to learn more about this?
Yeah, so you can go for the youth programs, bluestudios.io. Also check out Paige and Paxton, my wife's company as well. And for our adult programs, blue1647.com or thebluelacuna.com, where we have a lot of our events. And we're really excited about just, you know, bridging the gap and really, you know, having folks respect us for all the work that we do, and but just ultimately, like, really shining a better light on our community and the people that have kind of worked behind the scenes that are starting to emerge and starting to grow and want to connect with others.
Well, I can tell you, you have earned our respect, not that it matters that much, but you have definitely earned my respect and our respect. I love what you're doing. We want to do anything we can to support you guys, as is Salesforce. We want to thank Salesforce for helping us get this show together.
Thanks, Salesforce.
Thank you, Salesforce. Very much. Emil, again, thank you so much for taking the time.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Of course, you can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. Or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.